You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, March the 22nd. I have my man, Mike Small, from the fifth quarterback in the house. How you doing, brother?
Keith, the sun is shining. The air is clean. Everybody's feeling good after one win over Boston. Changes everything.
Yeah, so it does. It does. And that's one thing I want to talk to you about. So here's the thing. We're going to talk about how much does it change everything, right? We're going to talk about that in our first segment today, y'all. The second segment, we're going to look at the Sixers' next six games. They play Atlanta, Orlando, Brooklyn, Minnesota, Dallas, and Atlanta again. Only one of those teams, Brooklyn, has a winning record. So we're going to talk about that upcoming stretch. And then we have a couple of tidbits for the third segment. We're just going to play it by ear. But, Mike, you said that this win, you know, and I talked about it in yesterday's podcast with two other gentlemen, but you said that this win changes everything for you, in your opinion. I don't think it changes as much. But yeah, I want to hear what you said.
Yeah, I mean, so it changes a couple things. One, okay. I'm being very realistic to know that it was a regular season game at home against a team that was missing Gordon Hayward, got their other center, who gives the Sixers a little bit of problems. Baines left early with an injury, and Marcus Smart got kicked out of the game. So I'm not naive to think it was a dominant win over a full strength competitor. The bottom line, though, is it's almost like they were able to just get over the hump no matter what it was. That was still the team wearing the green and white, and they were able to pull off the victory. There were a couple of things that were significant to me. One, obviously, Embiid being able to deliver against Horford. Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter, fantastic. But the biggest thing for me was Ben Simmons getting that and-one with about a minute and a half or 2 minutes to go. Because Ben Simmons has not done well against the Celtics. I mean, we think about that one-point game in the playoffs last year, the fact that they build that wall every time Simmons touches the ball. And he attacked it a couple of times, but he got a step on Marcus Morris, got that and-one, and to me that was a huge confidence builder.
Yeah, I agree with that. In regards to a huge confidence boost, you know, the thing that struck me about the game is the 76ers were more hyped up than the Boston Celtics. Like, the Boston Celtics came in here and they were saying to themselves, like, yeah, this is a rivalry, but you know what? We always beat the Sixers. We do this, we do that. I mean, I'm happy for Philadelphia that they won that game for them because they put so much into it. And what I mean by so much into it, it's like, you know, they had a video on the scoreboard showing highlights of the Sixers-Celtics series, you know, going all the way back. And they concluded it with Embiid dunking on Baines, the dunk he had on him last year in the playoffs. And, you know, you're looking at it, and Brett Brown made adjustments. You know, we talked about that before we did the podcast, you know, which is great. But you look at Brad Stevens, he didn't make any, you know. And so, yeah, it gave the 76ers confidence, true, which was good. But then after the game, you know, I'm talking to TJ McConnell, and he says, yeah, Keith, I'm messing all up. He said, yeah, Keith, this is a huge win. But let's put things in perspective. And he talked about some of the things you talked about. And he says, for me, we got to beat them in the playoffs. He says, it seems like last year we lost the first three, and then we walloped them in the fourth game of the last year's series. They were undermanned, the same thing. Everybody was saying this and that, and then the playoffs came, and the Sixers didn't show up. So, again, it's great that they won. It's better that they won than they would have lost, because next thing you know, the fan base would have been like, oh, what's wrong with Brett Brown? What's wrong with this team? All I'm saying is that I want to see the Sixers do it when both teams are game planning for the game, when both teams know that something matters. It just looked like to me that Boston came in and they're like, doom, 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 doom. You know what I mean? They just seemed like they didn't have the focus like the Sixers had. That's just my opinion.
I think you have to keep a couple of things in mind. I hear where you're coming from, but Boston did have a 15-point lead in the first half. Mm-hmm. Boston was hitting every shot that they threw up. Boston was finding Kyrie Irving on mismatches against Embiid, where Embiid obviously got that block at the end of the game, but it was kind of, you know, frustrating watching. Like, why does this keep happening? The things that have to encourage you as a Sixer fan are...
Yeah, but I'm not a Sixer
fan. I know.
Fan. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But I mean, you know, you who's listening.
Yeah.
The thing that would have to encourage you would have to be the fact that the Sixers have some shiny new toys and got to use them last night. You know, when they played the Celtics last time, it was three games into the trade. This time, even though Tobias Harris did not have a great shooting game, he still ended up with 21 points. But I thought most importantly was down the stretch, the way that he and Jimmy Butler ran the pick and roll, which was something different that you haven't seen from Brett Brown, especially down the stretch of a game. Of course, Jimmy Butler's been dominating in the fourth quarter, but the way that they did it was something different. The way that the way that Ben Simmons guarded Jason Tatum along with Jimmy Butler. Tatum was a non-factor in the game. I think he was the negative 21 when I looked at it. And so, look, you're right. It definitely wasn't Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think there are some encouraging signs that say as this team gels, you have some hope. And they're 7-1.
True. Yeah, 7-1. The thing is maybe it's just me. Like, you know, I know how when they win, they're the greatest thing. When they lose, mm-hmm. they're not so good, you know, in the eyes of the fans. So I like the fact that they won. And we're going to talk about this in the second segment. You know, the 76ers will probably have two more games down the stretch mm-hmm. that, you know, they're expected to go at least 8-2. Expected. I think if they lose three more games, we're talking about down the stretch, it's kind of like, wow, they let one go. You know what I mean? That's how easy their schedule is from here on out. But, you know, to me, it's just, you know, I just know that people are going to get fired up and everybody likes it. And then if something happens in the second round, people are like, oh, my God, what happened? What happened? So, yeah, this is a confidence boost.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer or anything like that or Negative Nancy. But what I'm just trying to say is when I look at it, I'm trying to put things in perspective. I still have answers. And here's the answers now. Not only this game, the Charlotte game, right? So Kemba Walker, he only plays 4 minutes in the first half, right? The Sixers only had one bench score, and that was James Ennis.
Yep.
You know, yesterday, now I know that the Sixers are tightening up their rotation a little bit, but they only had 8 bench points, right? Now, when we talk about the Milwaukee Bucks game, you know, Milwaukee, 52% of their shots came from on threes, mm-hmm. 52, and they were wide open shots. They were missing them, right? And then you look at Milwaukee, Malcolm Brogdon's out, Mirotić, you know, now you realize
you're trying to slow the hype train a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just trying to slow it a little bit. I mean, just slow it up a little bit because, yes, they got these two big wins, but they still have some holes. They still have some holes, you know, so that's that.
See, I try to take something from every win and every loss. What I took from these games is what killed them last year. Wing defense, right? Perimeter scoring, lack thereof, aside from JJ when he was either hot or not. And Embiid being able to play against Al Horford.
Yeah.
And I saw some better wing defense. I saw more of a plan to score, that it wasn't just giving it to Embiid and hoping, even though Embiid had the monster game, there were other ways to score when Embiid, you know, was gassed, which he was. He played 41 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there were things that I took from it. There were some things in the Milwaukee game that were a little scary. There were a lot of open three-pointers that Milwaukee had, and they didn't go down. And Giannis was unbelievable. But, you know, that might be some of the strategy as well, where you let Giannis get his and have good perimeter defense on everybody else. Chris Middleton couldn't get anything going. And, you know, so look, it's certainly not a guarantee that they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals, but what you want to see is progress with this core five. The bench is terrible. The bench is not good. Mike Scott is hit or miss. Ennis, I do like Ennis at the end of games, by the way. I like that Brett took J.J. Redick out for most of the last 3-4 minutes and went with more of a defensive lineup, and I think that's good. I think that's a good thing down the stretch. But, yeah, the bench has a ways to go, but I can live with a great starting five.
Hey, good one, good one. Okay, now, looking at this schedule. So, you know, you look at the Sixers schedule coming up. So, like as we talked about it, you know, Atlanta is one of the worst teams in the league. You know, Lloyd Pierce is in his straight rebuild mode. Then from Atlanta, they go on to Orlando. You know, Orlando is a team that, you know, trying to make a playoff push. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. You know, Brooklyn, 37-36, which is a bad matchup. Now, I'm going to go back. So, they play Atlanta on Saturday. They play Orlando on Monday. They come home against Brooklyn. Then they go to Minnesota, you know, then at Dallas, and then at Atlanta again. So, they should win all these games. They should. Now, the thing is, the one game that a lot of people are going to have some intrigue in is the Brooklyn game.
Yeah, you know, could be a first-round matchup.
Could be a first-round matchup, exactly. Could be a possible first-round matchup. And to me, when I look at that, like I said, there are two games that I think the Sixers, you know, or like two teams like Milwaukee, like they'll probably beat Milwaukee. But that's a game they could lose. This Brooklyn game is a game they could lose. Mm-hmm. Or they could possibly lose at Miami. Or depending on who's playing.
Like, Minnesota's playing a little better. That's a possibility. Yeah. Carl Towns been good lately.
Carl Towns, but you know what I think?
Depends if Embiid wants to play that game.
Well, the thing about the Minnesota game, right? So Jimmy Butler hated it there.
Yeah.
The game is on NBA TV. So he's going to go there, and it's going to be kind of sort of like how it was in Chicago, but you got Embiid with you. Mm-hmm. And Embiid always likes to kill Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yes, he does.
And I think Jimmy Butler is going to walk in there and he's going to be like J.J. Redick when he was in Charlotte. Because mm-hmm. people fail to realize, whenever he goes there, he has a great game because the whole Duke and I'm back in North Carolina type of thing. So Jimmy Butler is going to walk in there and he's going to be like, this is my house. I'm better than any of y'all. So I think they're going to win that game. I think that they're going to do something.
Can I say something at the risk of being hot takey?
Go ahead, say it.
Would it be such a bad thing if they lost some of these games? And what I mean by that is, if you're going to give Embiid and Redick and Butler and Simmons a little bit of rest, you drop a few games, maybe let the Celtics pass you for that three spot. You play Indiana, you avoid Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals, because I think you probably have a better shot against Milwaukee over a 7-game series based on the way that both teams match up. Would it be a terrible thing to get the 4th seed and open up against the Pacers instead of the 3 seed and open up against the Nets?
No. My only fear for if I'm the Sixers, I mean, you make a great point, but my only fear for the Sixers is, what if you do that and I doubt if it happens, but mm-hmm. if Indiana like finds its way and gets the 3rd seed and you have to play against Boston, you know what I mean? I just don't like
it's a gamble. Coaching,
that's a gamble. I don't like, I mean, but you, what you said is great, but I just don't like the coaching matchup. Like, I don't think that, I mean, you know, I have respect for Brett, but I don't think he can out-coach Stevens. I mean, I don't want to see that. I mean, I don't. If I'm a Sixers fan, I don't want to see that, because I think he'll give. Now again, if Boston finds its way and gets that 3rd seed, yeah, of course. Because you know the Milwaukee team, even though Milwaukee has the best record, you know, it just seems to me when you have 2 rotation players injured right now, mm-hmm. going into the playoffs, that's not good. I mean, it's not. They're for the, you know, they're right, man, for the picking.
I'd rather be on that side of the ledger. I mean, Toronto, with Kawhi Leonard, and as deep as that team is, they can give the Sixers a whole lot of problems. And, you know, now Marc Gasol fitting in a little bit, I think that, you know, that's a matchup I'd prefer not to have if I could avoid it until the finals.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think the Sixers team can make it to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals?
I think any of the four teams could. Just a matter of adjustments and getting hot. I mean, like we talked about the Sixers and their new toys and their starting five. You know, there will be breaks in between the games. They're not going to be back-to-back-to-back. So, you know, Embiid will be able to rest, and, you know, some of the guys will have their legs. And I do think they are good enough with a short rotation to be able to beat anybody in a series. It's just a matter of how the matchups go and the adjustments go and who's hot and who's not. And, you know, I think another encouraging thing to look at, too, is, you know, if everybody on the Sixers fired on all cylinders against Boston, you'd say, wow, this is the best effort you can get. But, I mean, Tobias Harris probably missed 50 layups by my count. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit. You know, a lot of bunnies that they missed. A lot of shots were going down the rim and came out. It was very odd. And I just think that there's so much more firepower. You know, Mike Scott couldn't hit anything. You know, the bench gave you nothing. When's the last time T.J. McConnell hit his patented mid-range jump shot? So I just think that there's more there to give, and I still think that there's more gel to happen. So, yeah, I do think they could make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, well, that's a good one. So for the third one, I think we should talk about, I mean, how many games you think they can win down the stretch and some other tidbits when we get right back. So, you know, looking at the Sixers schedule, I mean, like we talked about it a little bit, how many games, you know, how many games, well, we talked about the next six games.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you come back from there, like, so we're talking about the next six. Then they have Milwaukee, which should be a tough one. Then they have Chicago, Miami, and Chicago. Now, we know that, see, they have two back-to-backs. They have Atlanta and Milwaukee at Atlanta. I don't expect Embiid to play in that game on April the 3rd, nor do I expect Embiid to play. See, this is a tough one right here. Like, if they're at Chicago, I can see them saying, okay, Joel, you're going to play on the 6th because we're going to be, you know, in Chicago. And then from there, we're going to go straight to Miami. So I could see Joel playing in that game, right? But then I could see him missing the home game against Chicago.
Where's Chicago going to be at that point? Are they going to be thinking about the lottery? Are they going to be going all out? I mean, that's the end of the year. And, you know, you got R.J. Barrett and Zion and you know, the kid from Murray State. There's I think they're going to be having their minds on the lottery by that point.
Could, yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, the thing I notice about this Chicago team, like, they probably will have their mind on the lottery. But it just seems like these young dudes are like, you know, they're like, hey, we just want to win a couple. We want to win a couple. But even still, like, my thing is, you know, Miami is a team that's battling for a playoff spot, you know, and then it's also, you know, that's like a rival. They want to do well against them, you know, competitive. It's just like, if you're the Sixers, like,
Miami's going to need that game for a playoff spot. They're right on the fringe there.
Yeah, you know, they're going to need it. And who knows? The Sixers will probably have the third seed all locked up by then. I mean, because, heck, they could possibly have it locked up by the time they play Milwaukee.
They could.
You know, they could.
You know, honestly, they could win every single game for the rest. I mean, they could finish on a 16-game winning streak again. But is that the best thing for them? I don't know. I think getting players rest and, you know, getting some practice time in and continuing to gel and building a team for the playoffs is the most important. If they lost five games, it is what it is. I don't think that's possible. I can't see them losing more than three or four games max.
Yeah, you know what would be nice for them from the Sixers? Like, you play on the 6th in Chicago. They're going to stay over and probably practice and then fly to Miami, because teams just don't want to be in Miami for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, that would be a great time to get practice.
Sounds like you are looking forward to that trip to Miami.
You know, cool, but, you know, it's weird. Like, when I go down there, like, a couple of times I stayed on South Beach just because it was weird. The rates, it was also in the winter time, you know
right.
what I mean? So the rates on South Beach were a whole lot cheaper than they were, like, down there on Biscayne Bay, like, where the team plays at. So I did that a couple times. But it's weird, man. You go places and you really don't have as much downtime as people think you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you first of all, you get there, you fly in, you're tired, you go to practice, and then you write your story, and then you get something to eat. The next thing you know, you're like, hey, we got a game the next day. And then, like, when we were down there for the playoffs, you had some time. But, you know, it's just, it's weird, man. You just want to rest over. And you travel a lot, too. Mm-hmm. You know how it is.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, everyone thinks it's glamorous getting on a plane and flying in the middle of the night and that you go to all these places, but mm-hmm. you're exhausted and sick half the time. And mm-hmm. But you still have a pretty cool job.
It's all right. It's all right. So how many wins do you think the Sixers will end up this year?
53.
Okay.
That's my number since day one. I'm sticking with it.
53. So they won 47. So you don't have them running the table, then.
I don't. Uh-huh. I think they're gonna drop a few. I think they're gonna rest some players, and I think they're gonna worry more. But last year it was about finishing strong, and you know, the first year really coming together, and you know, getting Embiid back after the orbital fracture injury. This year, I think they're going to be a lot smarter with rest and preparation, and I think they will blow a few games.
So who do you have the four losses coming to?
Well, I could definitely see them losing one of the Chicago games. Mm-hmm. I think that Orlando, possibly. I think Brooklyn, possibly. And I'm going to – it's hard to say they're going to lose to Atlanta. They're definitely not going to lose to Minnesota or Dallas. Maybe I'm correcting myself and going with 54. All right, I'm going 54 wins.
Okay, all right. Wow.
What about you?
I think I have them at 55.
Where the loss is coming from?
Milwaukee and possibly Milwaukee. See, this is crazy.
You know what? They're going to beat Milwaukee because they're going to play that like a playoff game. That's going to be Brett's opportunity to get them geared up.
I have them losing the final game of the season to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe Miami because they're going to need that game. They're not going to lose two in a row, though.
Yeah, I don't think they'll lose that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Milwaukee and Chicago. I guess I have to go with, if it's not Milwaukee, it's Brooklyn. You know what I mean?
That's, now, we're talking ourselves out of it. It's going to be 56 wins, isn't it?
Yeah. But look, hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining, and I want to thank y'all for listening. Now, look, y'all, if you want to, Mike, if people want to follow you on Twitter, and they want to follow you online, where can they follow you at?
Yeah, please give me a follow at the real, not the, just real Mike Small. I guess there's some phony ones out there, so we try to keep it real. And the fifth quarter, we're doing some great stuff. Had a great podcast with James Ennis last week, and continuing to grow the brand. So give us a listen and give us a follow.
All right. I want to thank you all for listening and have a great day. Peace.